This is The Record on KUOW Seattle. I'm Ross Reynolds.
I'm Steve Scheer. It's been 3 weeks since a major landslide hit the town of Oso, Washington. The closure of Highway 530 is just one of the many challenges facing people who live in the area. Soon, the State Department of Transportation will face the task of clearing the one-mile stretch of 530 covered by landslide debris. Travis Phelps is spokesperson with the Washington State Department of Transportation, or WSDOT. Travis, thanks for talking to us.
Sure, my pleasure.
What's the state of Highway 530 right now?
Well, right now there's still a substantial amount of landslide debris on the roadway, and search and recovery efforts are still ongoing. We do have some WSDOT maintenance crews out there assisting them, so there's a small portion of the highway that on either end that has been uncovered, but there's still a large section covered by a lot of debris. And the state of the road under there, unknown yet. Potential exists for there to be significant damage to that roadway, but we haven't been able to get in there and do a thorough analysis yet.
Will you talk about some of the challenges you face in clearing 530?
Sure. So there's about a mile or so, give or take, of highway covered with debris. In some places, that debris is about 20 feet deep. We're estimating there's about 150,000 cubic yards of debris just on the highway alone. And to put that in perspective for normal folks, this is about 15,000 dump truck loads of material. So there's a substantial amount of stuff there.
You know, in terms of that stuff, it could be toxic. It could hold human remains. What's the procedure as you move forward?
So this is a delicate operation. So the human remains and some of the personal belongings that are in here, we need to make sure we're being respectful of that. So working very closely with Snohomish County, the medical examiner's office, and getting a process put in place to where we find human remains, make sure those are in a state where they can be identified by the medical examiner's office. The other thing is this work is going to be slow because of that. This isn't your, I mean, if this is a typical landslide with just mud, we could clear this road no problem, start rebuilding it. But there are human remains there, and we need to be respectful. That's really going to increase the time it takes to clear this roadway to make sure we can get in there, identify anyone we found, do this slow, meticulous work.
Once cleared, what are the options WSDOT is looking at for the route?
So that's where we need some input from the community. We're going to be talking with the communities of Oso, Arlington, and Darrington for the first set of meetings to the communities to really get their input on what the future of this corridor holds. Do they want a highway that is in the same location, roughly looks the same? There's a tremendous amount of loss that's been in the section of roadway. Memorials, anything like that, does that need to go there? How do they want us to proceed with clearing this debris? What are their sensitivities to this work? I mean, taking a bulldozer and road equipment through here, that's going to be, that could be an emotional thing for a lot of folks. So what do they really need? So we're going to be listening and taking some input from them over the next week, taking that input back and coming back with some concepts that we can propose back to those communities.
And then when do you hope to come back with the concepts, do you know?
As soon as possible. But we also want to do this in a respectful way. And there's a tremendous amount of loss to this community. So we want to engage them when it's the most appropriate times for each of them and just kind of go through this. But it also kind of depends on what sort of feedback we're getting from the communities. We want to make sure we come back with concepts that are usable for folks, too.
How are you thinking about costs?
Costs, we're a big long-term discussion with the federal government on this one. There's a lot of disaster response here. And because there's still a lot of unknowns, condition of the roadway, this landslide changed the geography of the valley, including the way the Stillaguamish River runs. So there's a little bit of homework that we need to do on our end, and we'll keep that conversation going back and forth with the federal government to determine what sort of funding we can get for a long-term fix here.
Travis Phelps, thank you.
Thank you.
Travis Phelps, spokesperson for the Washington State Department of Transportation.
Highway 530 is how the residents of Darrington, just east of the landslide, get to bigger towns nearby, towns like Arlington and Everett and Marysville. It's the main stretch of highway commuters use to get their jobs at mills and lumber companies in Darrington. This morning, Dan Rankin told us just how hard it's been for folks since Highway 530 closed. He's the mayor of Darrington.
You know, we are kind of a disaster inside of a disaster. The actual event took place several miles away from us, but the impacts are definitely felt in this community. a commuter that has a lower paying wage, you know, a $15 an hour wage that was getting by living here, now can't drive around. They either have to find housing down below or they have to quit their job and stay here. If they have family and children in our school district, it's a disruption in that arena. It's hard. Or if they stay down, that's just more time away from their families. And even when you're commuting back and forth, your commute's extended an hour on both ends of that, at least. And so that's just more time away from family, more time away from home. Hampton Mill has to put on more trucks because of the cycle time for the trucks. We have to put more trucks on the job to get the same amount of material per day to their distribution centers. Large, huge financial impact on them. Their chip and sawdust truckers are independent, and you know they're on a set contracted price to deliver products. You stretch that out by 60, 80 miles for the delivery, they have to inherit those costs. So it's both emotional, quality time, and financial impacts that are felt community-wide.
It doesn't sound like anything you can even adapt to. I mean, there's no way to get around the fact that that road's not there.
No. There are quite a few of us that, you know, the mill is here. Our commute for us, the residents that live here and work at the mill or work in the area, you know, our commute times are pretty great. You know, 5, 10, 20 minutes is a long commute for us. And those folks aren't directly impacted in that realm, but to go take in a movie, go out to dinner, all of those things are now a long ways away. You just don't jump in your car and go out to dinner with your family when it's 60 more miles. You know, you just don't do the things that you normally would do. You're kind of trapped here.
You're getting a lot of questions from your citizens, Mayor Rankin, about when the road will be reopened, and when you do, what are you telling them?
State DOT is working diligently to come up with plans and solutions for 530, but you got to remember that we are still in recovery. We're still working in the site, and it's a slow process, and it's going to continue to be a slow process until the recovery is complete. And it's a troubling subject, and we have to go about this in the right way. We have to do what is right first for the families of the victims in this tragedy. I think that's all I can say.
I'm sure this is difficult for everybody, and as the mayor, as the leader, there must be particular burdens on you.
I used to have a normal job. yesterday was the first time that I drove into the driveway to my mill, and in 3 weeks, I haven't been there. But, you know, we're adapting, and the community is adapting to those challenges, and this is my priority now. This community is my life and my priority, and I'm not going to change that anytime soon.
That's Darrington Mayor Dan Rankin. You're listening to The Record on KUOW Seattle.